There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome in to another Pitt Panther Rants and other Sports Rants podcast. Juan Harris, your host, brought to you by the Sports Drink. Happy April Fools to you guys today and girls, ladies and gentlemen, as we're now in April. The third of the year is almost over. And it's kind of crazy because as we get older, it's like the days just get faster and faster. You know, I know being a dad with kids and doing the school year shit, it just gets, there's every milestone where you have, you know, you got the first day of school, then you got the fall holiday, whatever, you know, whatever you're off for. Then you got Thanksgiving, you got Halloween. A month later, you get Thanksgiving. Then a month later, you get Christmas, you know, holiday break. Then eventually you get, I don't know, Valentine's if you celebrate that. And, of course, now we have Easter, which is over. I mean, of course, there's Lent, too, depending on your religion. And, you know, here we are in April. So the next holiday probably, well, it's going to be Memorial Day. And, of course, don't forget birthdays as well. You got to keep track of all your birthdays, you know, for the year as well. I mean, it just keeps piling on. Like, every 2 weeks is your payday, depending on your frequency. Whether if you're biweekly, you're gonna get paid every other Friday. Semi-monthly, you get paid probably, it's like two dates out of the month, I believe. It's like some people get paid on the 10th and 24th, whatever. And of course, some people get paid weekly. I know when I was a temp and did contract work, I got paid weekly, and when you live, you know, when you're in college doing that stuff, it's fun. You love it. Because every Friday, you know, if you're short on cash, you're going to get direct deposit on Friday, which means you can go out and get blitzed, get toasted. And then knowing for the fact you get paid a week later. But Easter for me was pretty quiet. I mean, with kids, watching March Madness, which we'll get into. You know, I made sure to get my ham and, you know, I slow smoked it, you know, made a glaze. And of course, what's hilarious about the glaze is the first glaze I tried to make, I was getting the ham off the smoker. I mean, it was hot, the glaze, but unfortunately it just freaking boiled over. It made a big mess on my stove. I got cleaned up, and of course, I had to recreate the glaze again, because the other glaze just, it was all downhill. But I rallied, and everything worked out. But and of course, we're not just talking about the men's March Madness, we're talking about women's as well, because, you know, we got some pretty solid teams still there. I mean, we got UConn, we got USC, you know, UConn, we got Paige, USC, we got Juju, and of course, Iowa, we got Caitlin Clark, and of course, LSU, we got, you know, Angel Reese, Flaje Johnson. They got pretty much a dream team on that team with Kim Mulkey. Personally, they play tonight, Iowa and LSU, and I think LSU is going to win that game. Did I say Iowa or LSU? I think LSU is going to win that game. I just think that they're too stacked. And other than Caitlin Clark, you know, what else does Iowa have? But I think that my hope is that Iowa isn't too, you know, dependent on Caitlin Clark, because they're going to need to do, whoever else is on that floor, Caitlin's got to be able to do something and contribute in some way. But then again, I'm not really a hardcore women's basketball fan. I'm a quote-unquote casual, like everybody else. But, I mean, this game itself is pretty big. The fact that it's an Elite Eight game kind of bothers me a little bit. I think this should be more like a Final Four game. Although I do think UCLA gave LSU more than they can handle, and I think that game itself is pretty much determined, you know, was going to determine who won the bracket. Iowa struggled against West Virginia, and of course, there was a lot of questionable calls made that seemed to favor Iowa. And and this sucks for West Virginia, but in terms of revenue and networks, you don't want your best player, you know, of recent memory to go out in the next round. I mean, not next round, but in the second round. You don't want him to go out early. I mean, at least let her get to Elite Eight. Well, actually, I take that back. This is how much of a casual I am. I think that, you know, was that a second round game? I believe it was a second round game. Yeah, it was actually a first round game. I'm sorry. In fact, let's pull up the women's bracket and see, actually. Because I'm such a casual that I don't even know what the fuck round they played in. Okay, that was second round. I take that back. I think I was right initially. It was second round. Yeah, Iowa played Holy Cross in round one, and West Virginia played Princeton. Yep. So yeah, this is the Elite Eight matchup. Yeah, that just doesn't make sense. I just think that, yeah, they played in round 32, and then Iowa played Colorado in a round of 16. It just, I don't know. The way the brackets are, I thought it would make more sense if they played in the Final Four, but what do I know? But one team, you know, that other side of the bracket with South Carolina, NC State, seems pretty dangerous. I mean, we talk about the, and of course, USC and UConn. I mean, there's, yeah, they play tonight, actually. Yeah. We forget about that game as well. I mean, that's going to be a pretty dangerous game as well. I mean, it's a loaded doubleheader for women's NCAA hoops. Although although I'm just a casual fan, acting like I know what I'm talking about, but I'm just passing on the notes. But, you know, this was all set last year when LSU beat Iowa last year, and of course, you know, the popularity of women's basketball has gone pretty big. I mean, Caitlin Clark is obviously the big story, but, you know, Angel Reese, Flauje Johnson, Paige Buchers, Juju Watkins, I mean, they're all very, very marketable players, and that's what the NIL has helped to do, is market these women. And of course, you know, I think, like, Caitlin Clark's got earned like $3 million in NIL, and Angel Reese has earned $1.8 million. I mean, the sky's the limit. You know, do you want to go to the WNBA or do you want to stay in the NCAA and make a whole bunch of NIL? You'll make more probably from that. And of course, Caitlin Clark has a big three offer. God, it's Monday and I don't know shit. She had an offer from the Big Three League, which I knew was still in, you know, in operation, but I wasn't sure how much of it was. But I guess Ice Cube has offered her $5 million to join that league, and I don't see her joining it. I think she sticks with the WNBA and develops that league. In the long run, that would make more sense. I mean, look what happened to the NBA with Bird and Magic. I mean, that league was very, you know, dead. It was almost like an arena league, pretty much, at that point. And those two came in and made the league more popular and became more profitable. People were making more money. And that's going to eventually happen for WNBA, we hope. I don't see it going anywhere. After the whole Brittany Griner thing with the where she was, you know, imprisoned overseas, maybe the women, you know, maybe we give them an option of not having to play overseas as much. I mean, you make really good money, but when you go overseas and go to those countries, you gotta abide by their rules, and you know, even if it's just a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a CBD product or whatever it is, at the end of the day, it's still illegal, and they'll imprison you for it for whatever reason. But let's circle over to the men's bracket. Why don't we? I watched the games over the weekend. I mean, I watched DJ Burns on the Sweet 16, and I kind of figured he was going to be a Twitter phenomenon in the semis, in the Elite Eight, which he was. People were talking about him then, but I watched him in the Sweet 16 game when they played Marquette, and man, he was just freaking. And a plus in Oakland too, I watched him. The man was just on another level. I mean, his game reminded me so much of DeJuan Blair, and sometimes, and he also reminded me of what we could have had when we signed John Hughley. And of course, I think from what I read, in fact, I'm going to pull it up right now and see. Oh yeah, he's entering the transfer portal. I don't know what happened there. Maybe I'm not sure what happened with him at Pitt. I don't know the whole story, but I mean, he. Oklahoma, he averaged 8 points and 3.8 rebounds a game. He was also hurt. He was hurt, you know, he was hurt at Pitt too. I'm not sure where he ends up. But basically he was, you know, what we wanted from DJ Burns is what we were hoping for with John Hughley. And of course, it just didn't happen. I mean, there was a running joke that he would end up at Cleveland State, and I don't know, he may have just end up there. I don't know. But yeah, either way, best of luck to him. I mean, Pitt did lose some other guys in the portal. Federica's in the portal, and I wasn't really surprised by it. He just, I don't know. At times when he was out there, it just seemed like he was a liability. And, of course, also Will Jeffries is in the portal. Great young man. That's all I can really say about it. You know, it just didn't work out. I mean, look what did for Nate Santos and Duquesne. I mean, Nate Santos leaves Pitt. He goes to Duquesne. And he goes to the NCAA tournament. I mean, that was a pretty feel-good story. If there's any type of a local story that we needed that was good, it was Duquesne making the tournament. I was not surprised that they beat BYU in the opening round. They were pretty hungry. You know, I didn't expect them to go one and done in that tournament for Keith Dambrett. They were going to get at least one win or at least give BYU hell if they lost. Unfortunately, they play Illinois, and Illinois is a much different team than BYU, and they just unfortunately met their fate. But either way, Duquesne had a very successful season. They end up promoting one of their assistants. And of course, that'd be Drew Joyce III. He was the associate head coach. Now he's the assistant. And he was also teammates with LeBron James. So, of course, that whole LeBron James-Duquesne connection is always going to have some sort of, some sort of connection. I mean, that's, if you're a Duquesne basketball fan, that's probably a really, really good connection to have, is being connected to one of the greatest basketball players of all time. I mean, it depends on what area you grew up in. You know, if it was, if you're really old, it's going to be probably Wilt or Oscar Robinson. The next generation, you're thinking Lou Alcindor or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, whichever one you want to go with. Or Magic or Larry or Michael Jordan or Kobe. So many different decades and so many different eras to choose from. Your all-time great. And, of course, LeBron. Or some may say Steph Curry. You know, I'm not sure how the league is going to be without LeBron, but, you know, the league moved on when Larry and Magic were gone. They moved on when Michael was gone. They were moving on when Kobe was gone, because Kobe, you know, may have overstayed his welcome too long. But as we look at the rest of the NCAA tournament, the Big 12 pretty much bowed out to the Sweet 16. The Mountain West, you know, had a brief stay for all the teams that they had. The two-bid league ACC made some noise in the tournament, although the end result is your 11th seed NC State in the Final Four. I thought two of my Final Four are still intact. You know, I have UConn and Purdue. My two Final Fours were, I believe, was it Illinois? My other Final Four was Arizona, which bowed out in round three. And, of course, I had Duke also playing for the Final Four. You know, I don't think we should have been too surprised of the Purdue and Duke, you know, end result, because Duke played Houston. Houston lost their best player. And after that, at least one of their best players. And I think if they don't lose him, Houston's probably playing Purdue, but I don't think Houston would have gone past Purdue. I just don't think that happens. UConn is UConn, and of course, you know, I was going to put North Carolina in my Final Four, but watching them play, you can just tell that they are eventually going to lose before the Final Four. Now, talking about the I'm clicking the mouses here. I'm not sure if I'm too crazy about it. Hubert Davis, and you could probably say the same about John Shire as well. I mean, Shire hasn't done horribly bad. I mean, he's done really good. So was Hubert. Okay, let's be fair to Hubert as well. But Duke and North Carolina, they love championships. You know, what they don't like is underachieving. And I think that's, you know, some of these programs you're seeing, like the Duke and UNC, that have had long-time coaches. I mean, look at Syracuse. They had Boeheim for so long, and they made that transition this year, and they didn't make the tournament. I mean, they were competitive, but they weren't the same. UConn's a big example. They had a long-time head coach in Calhoun. He leaves after winning the title. Then they have a new guy come in. Yeah, they had Kevin Ollie come in. He went to the title, but unfortunately, things weren't the same after that. You can make the argument that he pretty much lived off of Calhoun until things went downhill and he gets fired. And of course, you know, they have who they have now, and they're looking, they may be on their way to a second straight NCAA championship. I mean, Hurley's taking them to two Final Fours, but with Shire and Hubert Davis, I mean, it's like Restaurant Impossible in a way, where if you watch those episodes of Restaurant Impossible, you get the groups of people who start a restaurant and they have no idea how to run one. They just want to open one. You have a lot of that. where they don't know how the business works. They just want to open a restaurant because they can cook and whatnot. But you also got the people who they get handed restaurants that were really, really good. You know, they were really profitable. You know, the owner gives a restaurant to this person. And they, you know, they live off of that. They go on autopilot for 10 years or 15. Then all of a sudden the restaurant starts going downhill. You know, they don't take care of it. They don't put any money into it. They just profit off of it. And of course, then once the profits start leaving, that's it. You know, then they're calling Robert Irvine to come and fix whatever it is they screwed up. So that's just something, you know. Well, of course, North Carolina had Roy Williams for a little bit, maybe 10 years. It wasn't like he was there for 20, but, you know, eventually, I mean, Hubert has delivered a Final Four. In fact, let me look that up because I've been really screwed up with my facts. Yeah, he reached the Final Four in his first year after replacing Roy Williams, which, you know, pretty much is a warning sign, if anything. You know, eventually these guys are going to have to deliver more Final Fours and championships, because that's what, you know, that's what Duke and, you know, UNC fans are accustomed to. But it was nice to see some of the sports analysts. It was kind of funny. I guess you can call them analysts or the bracketologists. Some people had ACC as a two-bid league. And then, of course, some people were just wrong about the ACC. And rather than just admit they were wrong, they just kept bringing up Virginia losing that first four. You know, I don't know why it's so hard for media people to just admit that they're wrong. Some do, but there's a lot that don't. They don't want to admit that they're ever wrong. And there's no shame in that. I mean, you're being paid for your sports opinions. They're not going to be right all the time. It's like sports handicappers who get paid for their bets. They're going to be right probably 60% of the time. You may make a profit, you may not, depending on what you bet. Or how you bet. You know, it is what it is. But it's just all the time they're just, it's not analysts, it's sports, it's media people in general in sports. They make opinions, and of course they want you to assume their opinion's fact. I mean, if you give them a different opinion, they're gonna tell you how wrong your opinion is and how right theirs is. At the end of the day, they're just opinions. They're not facts. Just opinions. You're allowed to have that. And it's like your opinion isn't any wrong as the other one. Well, it depends on how far out of bounds your opinion is, I guess. You know. Saying that the Pirates franchise is better than the Yankees franchise, I mean, that's one hell of an opinion to have. I mean, there's exceptions like that, of course. But anyways. But other than that, I mean, there's really not much else to, you know, as far as the tournament goes, to talk about. I mean, As I scan through all this, Alabama obviously was a big surprise to me, but they're very, with Nate Oates, they're very, very well coached. I mean, I was not expecting Illinois to get curb stomped like they did against UConn, but it happened. Was not expecting that. Creighton had a nice run. I mean, Creighton's always, you know, Sweet 16's always going to be a nice run for them, no matter what. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, baseball's underway, and I don't really watch much of the Pirates, so, nor Penguins. Now, I should close out with Parrish Ford, although I saw that he was in the news this past week for a connection to a shooting. I don't know all the, I don't have all, I mean, I don't have all the facts, so I can't really make an assumption about what happened. All I know is he left Pitt in the middle of the pandemic season of 2020. Rafferty, I know her name loss. He entered the draft. Didn't have a really good combine. In fact, he ran like a 4.8, I believe, which is, or 4, you know, it was, let's just say it was really, really fucking slow. And then, of course, doesn't get drafted. And, of course, he gets cut in preseason because he looked really, really bad. And ever since then, it's just, you know, he's been bouncing around, whether it's, USFL, he was playing there, and it looked like he was doing pretty well, like, rehabilitating his career. But then when the USFL and the XFL merged, he was left out. And from what it looks like from reading what happened, they fired into a building, and I'm not sure... You know, were they doing it? Were they doing it just to fire guns at a building just for, you know, they were bored? If that's the case, get the guy, you know, membership to a gun range or gun club and be done with that. You know, then he can fire. Then he can shoot whatever targets he wants. But if it was to harm somebody, that's another story. But all I can say is, I just hope the guy can. If he does get a mulligan here in some ways, I hope that he can just revamp himself. You know, he's still young. He's in his 20s regardless. You know, not everybody gets to go to the pros. And it was weird because I remember that Miami game in the pandemic. He had a monster game and he took that iconic picture with Ed Reed and everybody thought he was going to be the next big hitter, and never happened. But anyways, I hope whatever it is that works out for him, regardless, he's still a former Panther. Oh, well, guys, I'm done here. Hail to Pitt. Have a great week.